Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Clap for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's rise as we worship God this morning. Let's be on our feet. My hallelujah belongs to you. Why have you served me? My hallelujah belongs. I repent of every form of spiritual carelessness. I repent of every form of spiritual disobedience. Every form of spiritual stubbornness that will have kept me backward in the journey of life. Lord, have mercy on me in the name of Jesus. The Lord said, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, so I will cause you to dwell in this place. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may go well with you. In every area, Lord, that I have disobeyed you, I have not listened to your word. I have veered away from your program. Lord, this morning, have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, on the authority of your word, I repent of all my carelessness. In the mighty name of Jesus. I repent from all my careless choices that I have made, that made me to withdraw from you, or that made you to withdraw your help from me, that has made your grace and favor to be far away from me. Father, have mercy on me this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Upon your church, Lord, have mercy. Father, we have come before you this morning, knowing fully that you are God. Some have chosen to sleep at home. Some have chosen to be watching TV right now. But Lord, we have chosen to be at your temple, at your sanctuary. And because of this, Lord, have mercy on us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word come with power. Let your word come with anointing. Father, give me that ear that can hear you clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I'm not worthy to speak of your word, but your grace and favor has kept me here. Lord Almighty, I pray that I will not abuse this grace in the mighty name of Jesus. I will not abuse this favor in the mighty name of Jesus. As this year is running to an end, Father, I pray for each and every one of us in this your church. Satan will not use us to balance his account in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As your word comes through our right ear, let it never go out through the left ear in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word do something beautiful in our lives today. Thank you because of heart. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Designing the voice of God. Ask your neighbor, do you design the voice of God? Do you hear when God speaks to you? Yes, that is what we want to examine this morning. Designing the voice of God. Since January, up to the time now that we are in November, have you discerned the voice of God? When it was November 1, I don't know what is happening. I don't know whether it's only me. When I wake up in the morning, there is always a song there. It's like somebody set gramophone. You know those gramophones we use in those days? Now set it that at a certain time, let it start playing. So whenever I wake up, there is a song of praise. It will just come automatically. Where it comes from, I don't know. But it just come automatically. And it's that song that I will sing before I finally, become aware of the environment that I've already woken up, and I can then start praying. So, then come November 1. I woke up that morning, I started singing. Then the Spirit of God told me, do you know that it is 1st of November? Since January, Satan has been trying to deceive you, but God has kept you. Satan has been trying to bring wickedness. Satan has been trying to make sure that weeping and mourning comes into your home, but God has not allowed that for you. Will you not praise me? It was then I realized that, look, we have just 2 more months to go. And God has been grateful. God will continue to be grateful unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3. And then same 19, 7 to 8. I want us to rise as we read the word of God. Let's give that honor to the Lord this morning. Children, upon entering the classroom, they say the pledge. They say it standing. So let's read the word of God standing this morning. We see the flag of a nation. We stand before it. We start our attention. We sing the national anthem. This is our own national anthem. The anthem of heaven. Praise the Lord. Psalm 19 verse 1 to 3. Heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Now 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And 10. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. Have your seat. God bless you. And Isaiah 30:21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Wherever you turn to, you will hear the word of God. Wherever, no matter the situation you find yourself, the word of God will comfort you. You will hear it in the mighty name of Jesus. But how can we discern the voice of God? How do we know this is God speaking? That's the most important thing. I remember a long time ago when I was newly born again. You know, like my brother said that he was found November 1, 2006 when he became born again. And that's when we become immortal. I became immortal December 18, I won't forget, 1998. I had a lot of things going on. I had a lot of questions that I wanted to ask God. I had a lot of things going on in my mind. Things were not going the way I expected. Everything seems upside down. Then the advert. I had the advert on the radio saying 4 million people will gather at the seaside to pray and worship God. I said, 4 million people? Are you sure? Then I just saw myself in that 4 million people raising up their voice and God blessing them. I then made up my mind to be there. And you know, when God gave you opportunity, he will also give you grace. It was grace that helped Abraham to take Isaac and want him to sacrifice him to God. It was grace. God supplied him the grace. I'm telling you. Abraham has told Sarah, the story could have been different. You know. I'm not saying whether they discussed it, but the Bible didn't mention it. But when I look at my cultural area, you know, my own culture, I believe Abraham didn't tell Sarah. God just supplied the grace. What I'm saying was that God supplied the grace to me to realize that I cannot get to Lekki in the afternoon. That I cannot try to be there in the evening. You won't believe it. Therefore, what did I do? Immediately, I dropped the children at school. I drove to Yaba bus stop. I abandoned my car in the premises of a psychiatric hospital where I was a former staff, so they know me every day. Then I took a public transport straight to Lekki. And I was at the seaside as early as 11 a.m. All the benches with which the people sat down were constructed in my presence. You know. But I thank God that God found me that day. And I gave my life. And one of my problems was ulcer. So that day, after I came back from the Holy Ghost Festival, you know, Congress, you know, days after, I think I was just sitting in the sitting room, it was a Sunday. I have taken all this medication that I normally take, jealousy. I've drunk so many bottles of jealousy, the ulcer will not go. I was perplexed it was an evening. I was perplexed. I even had no money to go buy extra bottles of jealousy. Then the small, still voice came. Can't you pray? I did not even believe in that voice, though. Because it was too small. You know? And then that was all. Then, okay, I just stood up from the sitting room and I went to the bedroom and I knelt down by the bed. Just say one or two prayers. And I left. And to my surprise, that was the last time I heard of ulcer. Since that time, no matter the type of fasting we fast now, no. That time, I was afraid to fast. Even when I was not born again, whenever they declare fasting in the church, I tell them, that's there, don't mind them, Ujari. Me, I know I cannot fast. You know, it's a family illness. Because my father suffered from it a lot. To the extent that he has to undergo a major operation, that the damaged part of the stomach has to be cut off. You know. And I remember very well. So I always think, don't worry, it's a family sickness. You have inherited it from your father. Don't worry, that's how it's going to be. Pray that you won't go through any serious operation. You know. But God can heal. When you become a new person, everything becomes what? New. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, it's what? It's a new person. It's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things what? And that is why we need to bless the name of the Lord for this month, for this 11th month, you know. And as the year rolls to an end, one can sometimes lose sight of God in everyday business and in everyday chaos of life. Occasionally, it feels like we are walking with God in a certain direction. But suddenly, it's as if he changes trajectory, and we are no longer by his side. Maybe the communion was interrupted by a life crisis or a tragedy. It's possible. And then it feels like we can no longer find God in the situation we find ourselves. Personally, I found it comforting that God is not known to abandoning his people. Rather, it says in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So today, I perceive that God wants us to address this topic, discerning of his voice. And this single ability to discern the voice of God is what makes Christianity unique. It's what makes Christianity to be formed. It's what makes Christians to be able, Christians, to able to help themselves as believers, right from now and forever and ever. Psalm 19, verse 2 and 3, say, day unto day uttered speech, night unto night showed knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices is not heard. 7 to 8 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Several words are used to describe the word of God. The law, the testimony, statutes, commandments, etc., etc. But we discover that in these two passages that we read, there are ways where we can the voice of God can be revealed to us. Number one, general revelation. One of the ways God speaks to us in verses 2 and 3, he speaks to us through general revelation. The general revelation is what gives to us through creation. That is, what I mean here is that without anybody talking to us about God, creation itself speaks to us. If you leave human beings in any environment, in any culture, in any planet, leave them alone, without anybody talking to them about God, without any education, without any Bible, without any religion, leave humans in their natural state, they will end up with a concept that there is God. There is a God. The knowledge of God is natural to humans. The reason for this is that creation speaks to us about God. When there is a creation, you draw up a conclusion that there is a creator. You know, I remember one great anthropologist. He said, man wanders over the sight of the sky. Man wanders over the sight of the sea. You look, you get to the sea, you say, wow. Maybe you've been seeing a river before. You know. And then you see a sea. I remember the first time I passed through Niger Bridge, and I saw the Niger Bridge, and that was the first time I'd be coming across River Niger. You know, all the river I've been used to was River Ogun. And we saw the bridge is very small, you know. You can easily pass it. You can less than 2 minutes, you've driven past river, the bridge on River Ogun, Lafenwa. Then, we were on our way to Uyo, and we have to pass through Nisha, and then we passed through this. I was wondering, because the volume of water that I've seen that's so big like that, it's either be a lake or at the beach in Lagos. So this time around, I've seen a massive body of water. I was surprised. Whenever I hear river Onisha Bridge, I was thinking it's just like the Lafenwa Bridge that you just cross with your legs and you are to the other side. And we kept on driving and driving and driving and I see the volume. And that is River Niger. River Congo is bigger than that. Mississippi River is bigger than that. So, when man wanders over all those things, man, the anthropologist said, man forgets that of all creation is the most wonderful. Man is very wonderful. Our ability to create, our ability to destroy, our ability to amend, our ability to think make us the most wonderful. And so when men come together, even when they don't know about God, they still realize that there is God somewhere. Praise the Lord. So there is that general revelation. And that's what that verse is telling us. It said, day unto day. Look at it. Said the heavens declare, verse 2 said, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals what? Knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Number 2 is special revelation. That is the second way that God can speak to us. God revealed this in his word. What God has spoken, God speaks through creation. That is, you know, that general revelation. He speaks through the written word. That is special revelation. The Bible. This is what we call the Bible. It is the law of the Lord. It is the testimony of the Lord. It is the statutes of the Lord. It is the commandment of God. When we read special revelation, that is the Bible, it must lead us to God. The agent God uses to open our eyes to himself through general revelation and special revelation is the Holy Spirit. And that's number 3. The Holy Spirit revealing, you know, God to us. So I said number 3, the Holy Spirit helps us to know God. Okay? And 2 Corinthians 13:14 is very clear. So I said number 1, general revelation. You just know that there is God. Now, that God may not be that the capital G, but you know that there's a creator somewhere. That's why I said, man wanders over the sight of the sky, over the sight of the sea, and forgets that of all wonders, he is the most wonderful. So man begins to think, there is somebody must have been responsible for this. Even those scientists who went to space, I think one of them, I can't remember his name. He said, when they got to the moon and they landed in the moon, he said, he thought in his heart that this cannot just be by fate. F-A-T. There must be a planner behind this thing. And that must be who? God. You know, those scientists don't believe in God. They believe, what they call it? They said, nature. Nature has done this. Nature has done that. He said, but when they landed on the moon and he looked at the awesomeness of the place, he concluded in his heart that there is somebody somewhere who must have put this together. And who is he thinking about? God. That is general revelation. God revealing himself to him through what he has created. And then there is special revelation, which is the word of God. The word of God, which we must read all the time. Number 3 is the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Look at that passage, 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is God the Son, the love of God, that is God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So if you look at all those three personalities of the Trinity, something is assigned to them. To God the Father is what? Love. God, no. To God the Father is love. God the Father reveals love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Remember? So if you want to experience grace, it is through who? Jesus Christ. No? The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Read John 1:17, you see there. John 1:17, and then John 1:14. Now, what is assigned to the Holy Spirit is fellowship. If you want fellowship with God, you must know the Holy Spirit. To express grace is through the Son. To express love is through the Father. To express genuine fellowship is through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that quickened each and every one of us to be here this morning for fellowship. You could have said, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I don't want to be there. But the Holy Spirit made you realize that, look, it is the first Sunday. It is the Holy Spirit that was talking to my sister who told her husband, you must be in church tomorrow, despite the fact of what they were going through. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So a perfect story of the signing the voice of God is in the book of Acts. Acts 29:27-11. When we get to them, I want us to read that. I will not be able to finish this word today. This is past 11 already. Past 12:20. Okay. Whenever we finish, we continue next week. We make it part two. But a perfect story of the sign, the voice of God is in the book of Acts 2:27-11. This is a business decision, making progress, that involves people and a man of God. Everyone is trying to decide about the trip. Shall we go or not? And there are five decision points regarding that story, if you read it. There was the expert opinion. Acts 27:1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, this is what the captain has said. The captain said, based on his analytical mind, he said, many times you want to do something. You want to find out what the expert is saying. It is a professional opinion. Is that not so? So we can listen to the expert. Okay? Here in this passage, it was an expert opinion because it was the sailor that was saying that now, when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, it was already determined. Okay. Then there was the financial consideration there. Acts 27:11. What that one is saying is that many decisions are based on how much it is going to cost us. The opinion of the owner of the ship was that what will it cost him if they don't go on the trip? That was the opinion of the owner. So the owner of the ship was looking at what? The financial consideration. But there was also the majority opinion. 12. Most of the crew advised that they should move. Much more concerned about the urgency of what they are going to do. You know? Majority of members of the crew said, look, let's go. That was the majority opinion. Then there was also a common sense opinion. In verse 12, that's Acts of Apostles. The Bible says, winter was suitable. That is, the weather was fine. And they realized that they could go. Assuming you are a believer and you are in this group, and you want to know the will of God, the expert said, let's go. Financial advisors say, let's go. Majority opinion says, let's go. Common sense opinion also says, let's go. Now, you must make a decision. What will you decide? Most of us will we will join the group, the crowd, and say, let's go. But Paul was in the mindset of all this, was in the midst of all this. In the midst of all this, Paul introduced a fifth consideration, and that was the spiritual perception. Look at verse 10. Paul said, I perceive in my spirit. It's not based on common sense. It doesn't make sense. It may cost you money. I perceive it's not an agreement with the experts. It is not a majority opinion. No, you are here to decide. I miss all this conclusion. Here is this little guy saying, I have another opinion. Sir, what is your opinion? And he said, I perceive. But did they listen to him? From where? Said, my spirit. Based on what? I don't know. Why should we trust you? It doesn't make sense. I know, but I perceive. With this five set of opinion, and we are asked to line up behind these five distinct opinions, which will you line up behind? I know majority will line behind the experts. You will have asked Paul, I don't understand your perception. The experts have spoken. The weatherman has spoken. This thing is financially feasible. Let us go. But we all know what happened as they set out. Not long after, they ran into a storm. There was a shipwreck. And they lost a lot of property. Paul had to speak to God or hear from God or pray to God, and their lives were spared. Knowing God's will and doing it is very important for the child of God. It is the way God leads us in our lives and causes us to say, I know I am called by God to do this. But how does one find the confidence to say that they are doing what God wants them to do? How do we discern it? How can you have that assurance that God is saying this? Number one, I have about five something here and I will conclude. Number one, delight in the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So that's number one. Delight in what? In the Lord. Delight in the Lord is a matter of seeking to please and glorify him. This causes you to have the right desires. These verses can be read two different ways, but with the same result. It can be read, if you delight in the Lord, he will give you anything you desire. Another way, by delighting in the Lord, he will give you the right desires. Say amen. Of course, this depends on you truly delighting in him, meaning you want to please him, you want to glorify him. If you are fully dedicated to his will and his desires, then he will place his own desires within you. That is sure. That's number one. Delighting in the Lord. Number two, godly counselors. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is what? There is safety. So many counselors, godly counselors, give the wise saying that there are many counselors, then purposes are established, and there is safety. You want the Lord to speak to you in a way that you could not deny that God was leading. You will be thrilled about key decisions in your life as you give open opportunities and surrender to God if you have godly counselors. Don't go to people who will say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. No. Godly counselors at times will be something you don't even want to hear. We heard this morning that vengeance is of the Lord. Is that not so? At the workers' meeting. Vengeance, and we were told, and I'm hearing that one for the first time, that is the only ministry that God supervises by himself. It's not given to any man to supervise. So vengeance is, and so somebody has offended you. What comes to you immediately? You want to revenge. But God says, no. Leave that one to me. And you now get to somebody and says to you that, no, you don't accept that. No, you must pay him back. You must do this, you must do that. You know that is not the godly counseling. Godly counselors will use the Bible to counsel you and not the things of the Lord. Number three, a still small voice. I've told you about that. A still small voice. Many times God speaks through a still small voice. Although it is not always true, but I think it can be safely said that Satan never does this. I don't think Satan can speak to you through a still small voice. It's only God. You want the Lord to speak to you in a way that you could not deny that God was leading. You'll be treated about key decisions in your life as you give open opportunities and surrender to God because of godly counselors and because of the still small voice. Remember Prophet Elijah? Elijah ultimately had God speaking to him through that quiet voice. 1 Kings 19:11-18. You know, there was a storm. The Bible says, and there was no God there. And then there was also a huge wind. There was only the still small voice. As you read God's word, seek to please him and get godly counsel, God can certainly walk through an audible voice that the world cannot mistake. Yet, he has chosen not to do so. Since he spent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, he can communicate directly to our spirit. God can communicate directly to our spirit through the small, still voice. God can also speak to us through by waiting on the Lord. He can speak to us through a prophet and so on and so forth. But please, when we want to discern God's voice, the question is, can we discern his voice? Of course, we can, but it takes patience. It takes obedience. At first, we are looking for the big signs in the Bible. Obey what it says, and you'll be well on your way to knowing what God wants in your life. As you grow more spiritually mature and sensitive to the Lord's leading, it will direct you the way to go. And according to his word, as I conclude, according to his word, Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or wherever you turn to the left, wherever you find yourself, whether you are flying, whether you are on the sea, whether you find yourself in India, where worship is nothing but small, small gods, or you find yourself in communist country China, where you don't even believe in God, the Bible is saying, you will always do what? Hear a voice. A small, still voice telling you where to go. For the rest of this year, I pray the voice of God will not depart from us. The glory of God will not bid us farewell. Let's arise this morning. Since January, God has been leading us. So I want you to thank God for keeping you, for making you to stand. You went through those accidents, and your life is still here. Those cold periods, you survived it. You find yourself in the middle of the ocean. You survive it. Lamentations 3:21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great has been the faithfulness of the Lord. Magnify the name of the Lord. Thank him, worship him. Father, from now on, I will hear your voice and I will obey you.
Pray.
From now on, Lord, as from today, my ears are open and I will hear your word and I will obey your word. As I make progress in leaps and bounds for the rest of this year and beyond, I shall move forward. I shall move onward. I shall move upward in the name of Jesus. On the authority of your word, in 3 John 2, from now on, I start to experience all-round progress in my life, all-round destiny, all-round health, in my marriage, in my career, in my business, in my ministry. Prosperity is my portion. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to pray. Father, on the authority of your word, 1 Samuel 38. As I design your word, release upon me the anointing to pursue, anointing to overtake, anointing to recover all. As I hear your word, I am here this morning, I'm hearing your word, Father. Release unto me anointing to pursue. For the rest of this year, Lord, for the rest of this year and beyond, I receive that anointing to pursue by the authority of the word of God in 1 Samuel 38. The Bible said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. He asked God, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Will I recover all? And God told him, pursue, overtake, and recover. By the authority of the word, for me and my family, for the rest of this year and beyond, I receive the anointing as I begin to pursue, overtake, and I recover all in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Finally, I want us to pray with the word of God in Isaiah 48:17. Isaiah 48:17. Quickly. This is what the Lord says. You Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. We are going to pray. By the authority of your word, Lord, teach me to make profit from my efforts in life. Supernaturally direct my way. Supernaturally direct me in the way I should go. Father, by the authority of your word, Isaiah 48:17, teach me to make profit from my efforts in life. Supernaturally direct me in the way to go. For the rest of this year, I will not miss it. I will not miss it. I stand to profit from the word of God. I stand to profit from hearing your voice. You will teach me and direct my ways in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I worship you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Is there anyone who was here? You know you will not be hearing the voice of God. You hear him, you disobey him. Several times God will speak to me. I will still do it, but I will argue because I'll be looking at the logic. This thing is not logical. God, why do you say I should do this? Finally, I will then obey reluctantly. But as you do this, you are drawing back your blessing. To anyone here, you just want to repent. You've been hearing of God's voice, but you don't obey Him. An opportunity for you to repent this morning. Or you are not born again. If you are not born again, you can't hear His voice because you will not recognize it. It's another opportunity for you this morning. I want us to confess our sins before the Lord this morning and then rededicate our lives back to God. Father, I rededicate my life. Father, help me. I rededicate my life to you this morning so that when I hear your voice, I will obey you. I will not go against your voice. Help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Ask God to help you.
Name we pray. Let's stretch forth our hands to the pastor and tell God, in whatever ways God will be talking to him, Father, give him the grace to discern your word, your voice, in whatever way that God will be talking to him. Father, Lord, the grace for him to discern your word, Father, give unto him in the name of Jesus. Father, give unto him. Father, Lord Jehovah, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, use him the more. Tell God that, Father, use him the more. This will not be his last time of preaching in the name of Jesus. Uphold him in the name of Jesus. Walk with him always in the name of Jesus. Thank you, the Most High God. We bless and worship you. And in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord! Thanksgiving time. It's time to give thanks to the